Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been a hard year. It's been a hard couple of years. Much has changed in this world as we used to know it, much of it not for the better. And you know already that we can't go back. We can't go back to the way things once were. Some things will simply never be the same again. But on this holy night, it is my great pleasure to tell you that there is hope for the future. There is good news of great joy that is for all the people. No matter what else is going on in your life, no matter how good it is or how bad it may be, you have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Close your eyes for just a minute and listen to part of the story again. And while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." On that night, the shepherds' lives changed forever. But so did yours. God in the flesh, wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped up like a gift for you and for all people. This is no ordinary baby that was born to Mary in the city of Bethlehem, the house of bread. This baby is the King of all kings. He is the Lord that is above every other Lord. He is the creator of all the heavens and the earth. He holds it all in his hands. And here he is, incarnate in the flesh, not in a mansion, not even in a comfortable little crib, but in a cattle shed. This may not seem like earth-shattering, life-changing news, and to many people it simply is a fantastical tale. But this is earth-shattering, life-changing news. This is the best good news that you can ever hear. God has come to redeem his people. He has come to redeem you. And it isn't the earthly kings that first hear the news and celebrate on that night. It isn't those who can think only about worldly things and everything else better that they have to do. It isn't those who are in their warm, comfortable homes that receive the angels and the glory of the Lord and then run out into the cold night to see this life-changing, history-altering thing that has come to pass. No, God reveals himself first to these lowly shepherds tending their sheep. They're the ones that see the glory of God. They're the ones that receive the angel hosts. These humble men leave everything on the hill in the darkness, and they go to find this child. This is you as well, people of God. You know there is nothing more important on this night than to celebrate the birth of your Savior King. Those stunned and frightened shepherds are told by the angels who have broken into the creation that they should not be afraid. Easy words, probably a lot harder to do when you see an angel in all of his glory. They're told to go and find this child. They're told that there is good news, and it comes wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, in a feeding trough among the straw. These shepherds go from fear to wonder and great amazement at what God has done. This is what he had promised, but not in the way he had promised it. They leave their lowly lambs in the hills, and they go and find the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And everything is exactly as the angels told them it would be. They see the sign, and they believe that God has kept his promise to send the creation a Savior. And already here in these opening chapters of the Gospel according to St. Luke, you also have been given a sign that you may believe. An important clue in these very words that you have heard on this night about this birth and this child king. And this sign is incredibly important. As you close your eyes, you pictured him naked and bloody, coming into this world, and then cleaned and wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid into a manger. Now picture him again, naked and bloody, with his outstretched arms, hanging from the cross, dying for the sins of the world. And then he would be taken down from the cross and wrapped again in swaddling cloths and laid into a tomb. All of this for you, your God has done. The manger of Christmas has always stood in the shadow of the cross of Good Friday. It really can't be otherwise. For Jesus to be what his name says, the Savior of the world, for you to receive any good news at all tonight in the midst of so much that is not good, Jesus had to do these things. He had to take on flesh and blood. He had to trade places with you. He had to become your substitute, your substitutionary atonement. He was made man in order to die in your place. He was made man in order to die the death that you and that all sinners deserve. In the fullness of time, on that holy evening, while we were yet sinners, still God's enemies, God gave his Son, his perfect sacrificial lamb, as a perfect gift for you. That's the good news of Christmas. Jesus is the gift that is more valuable than gold or silver. This is earth-shattering and life-changing news that is for you and for all the people. This is good news that you need to hear tonight and always. You see, if Adam and Eve could have fixed their sin problem, if they could have undone what they had broken in God's perfect creation and saved themselves from death, then a Savior would never have been necessary. If you could only stop sinning, if you would just try a little bit harder so that you could make yourself holy and righteous and lift yourself up into heaven, then you wouldn't need a Savior either. Jesus wouldn't have had to die. He wouldn't have had to been born. But God said that Adam and Eve couldn't fix what they broke. He said they needed a Savior, and he promised to send them one who would crush the serpent's head. He says that you are dead in your trespasses and sins. When's the last time you've seen something that is dead make itself alive? You also need a Savior. You need one who can give you life, who can pay the price that you can't pay yourselves. One that can redeem you from the devil and death and make you a child and an heir of the Heavenly Father. You need a Savior who can wash you clean with water and his blood and cover you in perfect, holy righteousness. And that is what Jesus, this little baby in the manger, the baby boy born in Bethlehem, that's what he has done for you. So tonight, in this little Bethlehem, in this little house of bread, here in Billings, on the south side of Billings, too small to be noticed by most people, although that seems to be changing, you have gathered again to rejoice and to receive his gifts as he comes to you again with his words of forgiveness, life, peace, and love. But not much has really changed. He still comes to you in great meekness. He comes under simple words, in bread and wine, In these things, he gives himself to you. Tonight is not about what you're here doing for God. Just as the shepherds didn't go in to find the manger in order to do something for Jesus, tonight is entirely about what Jesus has done for you, what God has done for you in entering into his creation to save you. And he's done all of it. He's done everything that was necessary to save you. There's nothing left for you to do. No work that you must accomplish before God will love you. Don't then be scandalized by his power covered in great humility that looks like great weakness to this world. Don't be scandalized by his birth clause or the lowly manger, by the shepherds, by his cross and death and resurrection from the dead. Don't be scandalized by the simple ways in which he gives himself to you. He is what he says, Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. And he is your life and salvation. There's nothing at all that you have done that he can't and won't forgive. There's nothing in this fallen creation that can keep you from his great love. There's nothing he hasn't already done in order to make you his own. He's the one that's carried you through this last difficult year and every year before it. And he will keep carrying you through all the days that he has marked out for you. Rejoice then with me in this good news that you are loved and forgiven, and go your way this night and rest in Jesus' peace. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.